guys, and welcome to this special episode of Back to the Past, the Alternate History Podcast. I'm Nick.
I'm Rohan.
And today, we have a special scenario for you. As 4th of July is going to be on the day this episode is going to be released, we decided to make an American scenario. Specifically, what if the United States of America was imperialist? Now, those may argue America was imperialist. Others say, no, they weren't. However, we're going to say they're imperialist in this scenario. So, before we go into this, there's going to be a lot of background surrounding this. So, we decided that the best case to begin this at would probably be in the Berlin Conference of 1884 to 1885. Basically, the Berlin Conference was where the colonial borders, and basically where the modern borders of Africa are centered around today. That's why you see a lot of straight lines, because the Europeans love some straight lines. However, America would probably be more involved in this scenario. In this, originally in our history, America was involved more in terms of economic interest in the Niger River area along with the Congo River area. However, we would have America be a little bit more imperialistic focus in this scenario, not maybe getting more land, but more as of solidifying themselves as a potential imperial power in the future. Now, as to why America would want this and why their public opinion would shift, we would have to focus on more of groups that would be promoting more of an idea. Specifically, this would be predicated around African Americans. As in actual history, many Northerners and Southerners after the Civil War wanted African Americans to be kicked out, including Abraham Lincoln, who was president at the time, who wanted them kicked out because he believed, quote unquote, that blacks and whites could not coexist in a society together, which modern society has proven wrong. However, this would be mainly focused on race, and the idea that we decided to take on this scenario would be the white man's burden. So if you don't know what the white man's burden was, the white man's burden was basically a false racial theory that was predicated on the idea that it was the duty of the white people to quote-unquote civilize those who were not white, which if you look into that, it's pretty racist nowadays. So we decided to predicate our idea on this, number one, because that's what the Europeans actually predicated their colonization of Africa during the time period. However, we decided not to limit it to just to Africa during this time period. However, in this scenario, I think that the American imperialism would focus more in terms of Asia and Latin America along with the Caribbean. What do you think, Rohan?
I think, yeah, because Africa was kind of already well-defined by the European powers. I don't think they were really going to budge much and give much of it. So I think Asia and Latin America, and like you mentioned, because Latin America is kind of a part of America's sphere of influence already with the Monroe Doctrine stating that European powers can't interfere and have colonialistic or imperialistic actions in North America.
Okay, so we got that ground line basically established here. So I think the Berlin Conference of 1884 and 1885, like I stated before in the background for the scenario, is going to be basically establishing America as a legitimate imperial power or having imperial interest outside of economic interest. And I think the first major event in this scenario would have to be the Spanish-American War in 1898. Now, we don't have to change anything in this scenario because America actually won this. And we'd have to change specifically the treaty revolving around Cuba. In our actual history, Cuba was actually given independence around 1902, and this was after around 3.5 years of U.S. occupation. And instead, we'd see occupation, but instead it would be the American annexation of Cuba. Now, if you know what actually happens in later on with the Cold War, that's a huge scenario because that gets rid of the Cuban Missile Crisis that would happen 50 years down the road. But let's get back on topic here. So how do you think the results of the Spanish-American War would be received by Europeans specifically? Do you think it'd be more of a look about it, Rohan? Or what do you think?
I don't think Europeans are going to really care too much about this because they still view America as somewhat of a minor power. So to them, it's just a minor power kind of eating up more land. And they're also viewing Spain as a minor power too, because during this time, the Spanish Empire is falling apart, collapsing, and we'll see. They'll switch from a more authoritarian monarchist-like government to a more democratic government. And then 30, 40 years down the line in the 1930s, you'll have a civil war. So Spain is kind of just unstable and crumbling at this point. So in the rest of Europeans' mind, it's just two minor nations fighting each other. And they don't really care that the United States grabs Cuba because it's nothing of significant importance. It's just asserting dominance in the region.
Yeah, you're right about that, Rohan. I don't think the Europeans would really care too much, as, you know, number one, I would say that at this point in time, the Monroe Doctrine was basically solidified by America being recognized as more of a power. Like, and like you said, it's still a minor power, but they're viewed as relevant on the world stage to the Europeans. Now, besides that, I think we'd have to, besides the annexation of Cuba, I think we'd also have to look towards World War I era. I'd say mainly during the presidency of Woodrow Wilson. And in actual history, as you may know, Woodrow Wilson was probably the most important president in the past 100 years of American history, mainly because of the fact is that he's the reason why they've been so interventionist in the past 100 years. And I feel like with Woodrow Wilson, he would definitely be elected in 1912, still assuming that Theodore Roosevelt and Teddy Roosevelt would be squabbling between each other and splitting the Republican vote. I think in this scenario, I think we would see more of a consolidation, and not like consolidation by in terms of just keeping what they have. I think expanding it even more, like consolidating the region under American either A, influence, which would probably be Mexico, or B, just under direct annexation like they did with Haiti for about 20 years almost. What do you think about that?
Yeah, Sonic, you bring up a good point, because Haiti would 100% be annexed. I don't think Haiti would be given up after 20 years of occupation. I think they would just keep it because it's been 20 years, right? And I've gone to Mexico, so the United States, I think, would pick a side, and they'd be much more open about that, and like obviously they're doing more actions based off that too. So we could see the Americans being more involved in the Mexican Revolution. And going off that, during the invasion of Veracruz and the American occupation of Veracruz, I think the United States could even, personally, I think they might even grab a bit of it for themselves and keep it as a colony or as a puppet state, for example, just somewhat of an overseas territory in Mexico, and to keep it, kind of just assert their dominance, kind of like what Guantanamo Bay is in Cuba today. I know it's like a military base, that's also a prison, but Guantanamo Bay also signifies the American presence in the Caribbean.
You're specifically right about the Mexican Revolution, because in our actual scenario, Woodrow Wilson was supporting one side specifically, and he would show his support in some ways. But I feel like in this scenario, I think Woodrow Wilson would probably try to be more involved with it. And you're also right about Haiti specifically. Instead of originally being released under FDR's presidency 20 years later in 1934, I think we would probably annex it. And I feel as if this would also be used, like the annexation of Haiti, to further prove that the white man's burden is a correct theory, quote unquote, in some manner, because they would try to probably use Haiti as an example of how to quote unquote again civilized people who weren't white. And I think this justification would be used as well to other points of American intervention, specifically with Mexico, like I said, with the whole Mexican Revolution. Otherwise, what else do we have? I don't know if the First World War would really bring anything to the American table. I mean, the only thing I think I could see is probably some Asian colonies per se. German islands in the Pacific, if you get what I mean. What do you think about that?
I think the United States would definitely have just seized more colonies, German colonies in the Pacific, Austrian colonies, that otherwise would have ended up with the British and French hands. They would have probably taken a piece of them. And that brings up a good point. How would their World War look on the Pacific from all these different islands, random small islands like a mile or even less, with the American strategy of island hopping? Would it help the Americans, or would it just cause more islands for them to have to invade and take back from Japanese hands?
So I don't think this would be a World War II in terms of including the Nazis as well, mainly being a big threat. I think this would be... The reason why I say this, because I think it would be more of a Pacific war. And the reason why I say that is I think it's going to also be, like I said, I'm keep repeating white man's burden, but I think that's such a huge important part as to why American imperialism would be American imperialism in this scenario. Specifically, I think the reason why America would go to war is not because of racial superiority. I think it's also because of the fact is that increasingly every single day, American and Japanese foreign interests are going butting heads with each other. And the reason why I think that is that, you know, Japan wants to expand more down south as a result of the Imperial Japanese Navy winning over the Imperial Japanese Army as to where they would want to focus their forces to. And as you know, this would include the Philippines, which is an American colony. So I think in this scenario, I think the more interesting part of what happens to the war, because I think it's still pretty obvious that despite the Great Depression, I think America would still win, is what would happen as a result of America winning. Like, do you think that the idea of American exceptionalism and the idea of the white man's burden would still persist throughout the 40s as we turn to the 50s with American imperialism? Or do you think it would be more or do you think it would be more toned down as a result of the Great Depression and through the hard social times of the hard times that they were going through?
That brings up a good point, actually. I think it would be a lot less, more towards our timeline, where like racism was still there and it affected political decisions, but didn't affect war decisions per se. It was more of like propaganda against the Japanese, for example, but it didn't like say we're gonna go to war with the Japanese, because it's not gonna be like that where we just show them our way.
Yeah, I think it would be more in terms of like it wouldn't be like a huge motivation, but I would think it'd be also kind of enhanced by like racial, it would also be like a racial battle of some sorts. I think that if we took it into a more racial point of view of the United States being more racist in this scenario, I think that's probably the point of view would kind of take as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you.
But now, I get what you're saying here, though.
Yeah. And now let's go. So the war is over. So what I think is that America's going to take some of Japanese lands, not necessarily take, I guess, but more spheres of influence. Much greater than were in our timeline, because in our timeline, Japan was under an American sphere of influence, but they still were independent. They still were allowed to make independent decisions. So I think that Japan would be much more tightly integrated to DC, and overall just be kind of more reliant on DC in general. And how is this going to affect the Cold War? Because now the Soviets have what is essentially a puppet to DC right on their border.
That is a good point. Before I address the Cold War area specifically, I think also you're right about that. I think they would also try to more directly integrate parts of, for example, if we're going to see like a communist takeover of China in 1949, for example, I think we could potentially see an actual maybe annexation of Taiwan as a result, instead of allowing the ROC, which the ROC to, you know, run over and call it the Republic of Taiwan now. And I think we'd also see more of a like American annexation of the Japanese islands, not like the home islands. I mean, more like almost everything up to maybe Okinawa, if you get what I mean. But addressing to the Cold War, I think it would definitely be a little bit more, definitely a lot more tension once nuclear bombs came into play from the Soviet side as well. Because I feel like the Soviets would definitely be a little bit more likely to say, okay, if they try to do this, they're going to get bombed. But the difference is like, who are they going to affect? Because I'm pretty sure America would definitely not care as much about Japan being nuked as, say, even Alaska being nuked, if you get what I mean here. What about you?
That's true, definitely. But the thing is, Japan being a more warmer climate, it's much cheaper to store military weapons, aircraft weapons, for example, than in Alaska, where it's cold and there's no proper infrastructure to get there. So the United States could potentially stockpile it in Japan. So I think that could just be more of a threat to Soviets. And sure, Alaska is close to Russia, but it's not close to an actual populated part of Russia. Meanwhile, Japan is not that far from the port that houses the Russian Pacific Fleet. In fact, it's only around 600 miles between Tokyo and Vladivostok, the home of the Russian Pacific Fleet. So I think this is going to have a bigger impact, because even though the Russians don't really have that much of an impact in the Pacific, Vladivostok is obviously a much bigger city and much more important than anything that could be near Alaska and the Barents Sea.
Yeah, you definitely bring up a good point, and then specifically with the storage of nuclear weapons in Japan. I feel like it could also be somewhat as a less severe Cuban Missile Crisis, but it'd be probably consistent throughout the entirety of the war. And I think there'd be another hotspot of the Cold War. And I don't know how it would really affect, for example, like Korea and mainly Korea, but also maybe Vietnam. But otherwise, I think that this scenario has reached its point to where I think would be hit the butterfly effect. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, overall, I think from there, it's just going to spiral with many new events. The Cold War is going to look completely different, I feel like. Because as we've mentioned, the Americans now have something really close to a Russian populated center. And I think that's just going to cause more tension. Like, similar how you mentioned the Cuban Missile Crisis, how there was a communist station with Soviet missiles near Miami. It's going to be the same thing with Japan and Soviet Union. So overall, I think from the Cold War, it's going to look different and much more tense, I feel like, than what it did in our timeline. Because the Soviets only had Cuba for like a few years with the missiles. Meanwhile, Japan's going to be there for most of the Cold War, if not all of it.
And there's also the case that Cuba's not even going to be pro-Soviet. It's going to be a little. It's going to be an literal American It's going to be a literal American territory. If not, it's going to be an American state at that point in time period. And besides that, I think that's really it. I think that's all we have to say. And I think we had a great episode here. That is all for this episode of Back to the Past, the Alternate History Podcast. We had a lot of fun talking about this episode and theorizing the motivations of the boost to American imperialism, along with the events that would occur as a result. Besides that, Kluka is also available for those who want to watch, as we provide another way to you for you to watch our company's podcasts. Otherwise, we hope you have a great 4th of July weekend.